ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And God has been gracious to me. With Facebook, I've been doing fairly well. I don't want to boast because I'm going to fall. But I don't respond to a lot of the posts because there's no point. People have made up their minds, and I'd rather just give them the Word of God, because then as they read the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to work on their hearts. I'm so blessed to see people reposting the scriptures that we post on there, on the church webs, our Facebook site, on the my Facebook site. They just keep reposting them so others see the Word of God. What is that? That's a warning to them. There is a God who loves them. And you need to listen. You need to turn to them. The warning. That's our next point and our last point. Look at verse 7 here in Judges chapter 9. We're told this. Now when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and cried out and said to them, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I cease giving my oil, with which they honor God and men, and go to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I cease my new wine, with which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come and reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal in his house, and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's house this day, and killed his 70 sons on one stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech.' And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother." Remember, of all the sons of Gideon, Jotham was the only one left besides Abimelech. And the others were killed. They were murdered by Abimelech. Why? So he could rise to power and become king. So Jotham, once he knows all that happened, he goes to the top of Mount Gerizim, about 800 feet in elevation, maybe 20 minutes to get to the top. And from Mount Gerizim, he's facing Shechem and speaking to the people who have made Abimelech king, and I believe Abimelech himself. And you have to give Jotham a lot of credit here. To do something like this was putting his life in jeopardy. But he's not holding back, is he? He's going to speak forth the truths of God, and he's rebuking the people of Shechem for making Abimelech their king. And he uses a parable showing them what a foolish choice they made, a choice that is really in opposition to God. And I'm sure the people of Shechem understood exactly what Jotham was saying. First of all, the trees spoke of the people, and they were looking for a king to rule over them. So they first went to the olive tree, and then the fig tree, and then the vine, and they all refused. These all produced fruit, and I believe they all represented Gideon and his sons, and they refused to be king. We've seen that. And now the olive tree, the fig tree, the vine, since they refused, they came to the bramble. That was all that was left. And here's the picture. The bramble was a worthless piece of tumbleweed, good for nothing. It could start fires. It produced no fruit. You couldn't take shade under it. It was nothing. And Jotham is speaking to the people. He's saying, is this what you choose to be your king, this bramble? Abimelech, wow. He wanted them to see, look, you've made a foolish decision here. But they refused to listen. And Abimelech, you know, basically said to the people, we see it in Judges 9:15, this ultimatum, either elect me king or I will burn you to the ground is the gist of it. Not a great way to start out your leadership, threatening, hey, make me king or you're dead. Clark put it like this. He said, the condensed moral of this whole fable is this. Weak, worthless, and wicked men will ever be foremost to thrust themselves into power and in the end to bring ruin upon themselves and on the unhappy people over whom they preside. Absolutely. Remember, you can try to get something that's not yours. You can use force or threats, but in the end it brings death and destruction. The whole solution is to don't go down that path. Or if you are, you know, listen to the Lord, turn around, repent. That was the warning of Jotham to the men of Shechem. And Jotham, again, he continues to let the people have it. He says, look, my father Gideon, he loved you guys. He fought for you guys. He was risking his life for you to deliver you from the hands of the Midianites. And this is how you repay the kindness? In fact, wasn't my dad Gideon the one you wanted to make king at one time? And now you're supporting the efforts to kill his sons, or have supported his efforts to kill his son? Wow. Again, God is gracious, he's merciful, he's long-suffering. And even today, he's warning people of the dangers that are out there. And the whole reason he's warning is so people will turn from their wicked ways and turn to him. There's consequences to our actions. We live in a country, we live in a world that's trying to usurp the throne from God. There is no doubt about it. These world leaders don't have any desire to follow the true and living God. God is pretty funny because these people, these leaders think they're doing their own thing. And God has already told us what they're going to do. They're going to form a one world government. They're going to make a cashless society. There is coming a one world religion. But these people don't think that they're following the true, following God. They're doing their own thing. I'm sure God just laughs at that. You don't realize who's in control. Your creator, not the creation. And for us guys, what can we glean from this? I think we're like Jotham. We're the watchman on the wall. Shouldn't we be warning people of the coming judgment? Absolutely. I mean, if people who are unbelievers, some of them got to be wondering, what in the world is going on out there? Look at the morality. How does that go down the toilet like that? Look at lawlessness, where people think that destroying buildings is the right thing to do, or beating people up is the right thing to do. I'm sure they have questions. And we could say, hey, look, this is what the Bible says. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. And it's out of that all the wicked things that comes forth. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3. But it all started with self-love. And all that, the other wickedness, is a manifestation of that self-love because it's all about me. But again, people don't want to hear it many times, right? Our prayer is, Lord, soften their hearts, open their ears to the truth, that they can come to saving faith. It's tough. It's not easy. But it shouldn't stop us from what we're doing. I mean, think about Paul. Paul had a passion for the Jewish people, didn't he? He wanted to see them saved. And Where did he, and all the cities he goes to, where does he go, first of all, if there was a Jewish population there? He went to the synagogue. And they usually kicked him out right away. I mean, it didn't last long. Did it stop him? No. In fact, before he goes by to Rome to see Caesar, because he's in prison, he's going to Jerusalem. And every town he comes to, he's warned, don't go, Paul. There's trouble there. You're going to be bound. You're going to be arrested there. I'm going to say, none of those things move me. I know where I'm going. I know what God has called me to do. He wanted to go speak one more time to the brethren. Remember when the big fight broke out in the temple area and the commander comes out, rescues Paul's, taking him up into prison, Fortress of Antonio there on the Temple Mount. Paul says, can I speak to these people one more time? Wait, they just wanted to kill you. They were tearing you into pieces. Oh, just one more time. Let me share with them. And he does, and they want to kill him again. Because he never gave up. To me, that should be something that should be the passion for us, that we don't give up. Because it can get discouraging. But you know, we only sow the seed. It's God who brings forth the fruit. So our responsibility is just sharing. Then it's up to God to be working on the individual. It's up for the individual to respond to what God's doing. And I guess a couple lessons we can learn here is, you know, if you're heading in the wrong direction, you got to turn around. You need to heed the voice of God. You know, we think, even as Christians, we think, hey, you know, I can do this. I got a special dispensation from God. There is no special dispensation. God has told us what's in His Word, what's right and what's wrong. It's not real difficult. Then what's the problem? The problem's me. I don't always agree with what God says. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that drive me crazy. Now you know why I am crazy, but a lot of things that drive me crazy. And one of them is, well, we don't know what that really means. In other words, I'm justifying my behavior because, you know, that may mean something else, what they said here in the Bible. Or, well, you know, again, this was for a different period of time. And for today, you know, we're living in a new generation. We got to go with the flow. And I'm sorry, I'm Italian. I just want to go smack them on the back of the head. What's the matter, you? No, you can't change God's word. Again, I don't like everything that's in there. When God says you need to forgive that person like I forgave you, Lord, you're breaking up. Come in, Lord. What'd you say again? That's a hard one, isn't it? To forgive like God forgave me. He forgave all my sins. Oh, my gosh. You mean I need to forgive that person like that? Well, yeah. I can't do that. I know you can't do that on your own, but you need to surrender to me and let the Holy Spirit give you the power and the strength to do it. But you have to surrender. You have to humble yourself before me. See, I may not like it, but I know it's what's best. And that's what I have to do. So important for us. The second point, I talked about it, is as Christians, we need to be the spokesperson for God and let the world who is in darkness see the light of God. This is, again, a tough one today. And, you know, if we are letting these things that are happening now bother us, this is nothing compared to what's coming down the pike. This is nothing. What's coming down the pike is going to even be tougher for us. Are we willing to take a stand? I mean, I'll just use the example in China. Look at what's going on in China right now. How the true church, the Bible-believing church, now they do have state churches there. And those pretty much follow the laws, the rules of the state. And so they don't get arrested. They don't get persecuted. But the Bible-believing churches are being persecuted heavily. The pastors are being beaten, arrested. Churches are dismantled, torn apart. Not in every part of China. but it's increasing more and more. How would we handle that? If they close these doors down. Do you ever think about that? We've had so much freedom and we just take it for granted. But what if they said, you can no longer teach the Bible, you can't gather together, what would we do? We go to house church. We'd go underground, like they've done in China for years. But how is God's word going to go out? Oh, well, here's your problem. You think it's by your programs and your buildings and everything else, and you forgot it's not by might nor power, it's by my spirit. And the church in China grew more under heavy persecution than it ever grew without persecution. So don't lose sight of that. Here we are. We have an opportunity today, you know, to bring the gospel message freely to people without the heavy persecution. And as long as we can, the radio station's going, the gospel's being broadcast, we've got the internet, we've got our Facebook page, we've got all these different things to bring the gospel message out. Let's continue to use it. Let's continue to stand strong in the faith and be a light that's in a very, very dark world. I think I shared on Thursday, look, darkness doesn't dispel light, does it? I mean, you could have, this room could be pitch black, nothing, you can't even see your hand in front of you, and you light a match. What happens? The darkness is dispelled, but the darkness doesn't dispel the light. Never forget that. As dark as it may be, the light will even shine brighter. That's an awesome thing, guys. We should be excited about the days we're living in. Not, you know, and again, I'm not saying we're fearful, but not just going crazy over it, I guess. Let's Lord, how are you going to use us in these days? How are we going to minister? Be excited. You know, I shared with you before, you know, with the whole coronavirus, people were upset because the churches were closed and stuff. And I know the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I know that. And I actually have seen some of the good. I've talked with people. They said, you know, our church never had live stream before. We were locked down. Now we're live streaming our services. That's good. And I'll just share with you, the first Thursday, the number of hugs people gave, oh my gosh. People missed fellowship. They missed the interaction with others. Yes, God used it for good. He helped, you know, because can't we get complacent? Yeah, we get together, we talk, we go out to lunch, we do this, and we don't think anything of it. Then it's taken away. Like, wow, I miss it. When are we going to get together again? When are we going to be able to fellowship again? And then when it happened, it was like a party. It was awesome. And I'm sure there's other things that God has done through that all. So I look for the positive. I look at how God's going to use it. But let's be that watchman on the wall. Let's be that spokesperson for God in the days we're living in. Let me just share these words with you from Warren Wiersbe regarding these events. He said, Abimelech considered himself to be a stately tree of great value. But Jotham said he was nothing but a useless weed. What a blow to the new king's pride. When they chose Abimelech as their king, the men of Shechem didn't get useful olive oil, tasty figs, or cherry wine. They got only thorns, fuel for the fire. Abimelech was actually trying to snatch the kingdom away from God, and the Lord permitted him to have a measure of success. But God was still on the throne and would see to it that the man's selfish purposes would be frustrated. It's a dangerous thing for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We all need to discover the gifts God has given us and then use them in the place where he puts us. Each member in the body of Christ is important, and we all need one another and to minister to one another. So there's no competition in the work of the Lord. There's no need for us to promote ourselves. The important thing is that God receives the glory. Amen to that. You know, that's the thing. The Lord is the king, not us. We're his instruments. We're vessels which he uses, and we're all important in the body of Christ. There's not one position more important than the other. Now, one more point here. After Jotham gives the men of Shechem and Abimelech this tongue lashing, he flees, gets a 20-minute head start, and he goes hiding where? In verse 21, he goes hiding in Beer. And I thought that was kind of an interesting place, and I don't know if this is what the Holy Spirit was saying, but that's like many people today. When they have trouble, problems, where do they go? They go running to the bar. They go running to the alcohol to hide themselves, and it ends up bringing more trouble. We're always told to rest in the Lord, to bring it to Him, to lay it at His feet, because we can put all these things, all these problems upon our shoulder, and it just weighs us down and weighs us down and weighs us down, and we can't even move. And He says, okay, give them to me. Hey, creator of heaven and earth, He can handle them. It doesn't weigh Him down at all because He's God. And I just rest in Him. And instead of being filled with beer, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's a great thing. Now, we'll see in our next study as we finish up Judges chapter 9 next week. The prophecy of Jotham was not immediately fulfilled. There's about 3 years before judgment came. God gave them 3 years. Why? Because He's gracious and merciful. Time to repent. 3 years. And they didn't. And He warned them. And what He warned them of is going to come to pass. Now, unless we see in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's what the men of Shechem and Abimelech are going to find out. In Jeremiah 21:18, behold, the Lord says, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Here it is. Did you notice there's only two ways? Life and death. Life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Death is our rejection of Him. That's it. Choose life. And we've seen this morning this enticement. And the enticement for Abimelech was to usurp or grab something that God didn't want him to have. And he went after it. And it's never, never, never a good thing. And what happens when we go after what God doesn't want us to have? It brings death and destruction. You know, 69 of the 70 sons of Gideon were put to death. And we closed at looking at how much God loves us. And we saw the warning. That God warns us in His Word what is good, what is profitable, what is dangerous and deadly. And we have to choose. And we need to share the warning of God with others. Even though it won't make us popular many times, but we need to do it. That's what Jude admonishes us. He said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. It's a battle to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Did you notice that? Once and for all. That does not mean that we change the gospel message to fit with our day. It was delivered to them, and it was one faith that is for us all. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There it is. Repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the faith. That's what we need to hold on to, and that's what we need to proclaim in this dark world we live in. Let's pray. Oh, Father, heavy lesson, Lord. And Lord, the thing is, we don't have to go after anything you don't want us to have, because the things you have given to us are so wonderful. And I'm not saying our life is easy or, you know, it's a tiptoe through the tulips type of life, but you are with us each and every step of the way. And as we look back at some of the things you brought us through and we see how you delivered us, it gives us confidence for what we're going through now. And I realize this is a tough time. And people are struggling. And I pray, Lord, that they would seek you, that they would come to you and lay their requests at your feet and just rest in you and enjoy that peace and that comfort that surpasses all understanding, a peace and comfort that can only come from you. It'll guard our hearts, guard our minds. And we're so thankful for that. But we have to come before you. We have to lay these things at your feet. And then, Lord, give us the boldness to proclaim your word. Empower us by your Spirit to share the truths of God found in the Word of God with the people in this world. Help us to love people, not to be angry or bitter or hostile towards them, but to love them and realize that apart from you, Lord, they will be separated for eternity in the lake of fire one day. Lord, help us to have compassion like you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.